May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 1051. Alas, what hourly dangers rise, what snares beset my way. To heaven, O let me lift my eyes, and hourly watch and pray. 1051.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, from the book of Ezra, reading chapter 8. The book of Ezra, reading chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8. These are now the chief of their fathers, and this is the genealogy of them that went up with me from Babylon in the reign of Artaxerxes the king. Of the sons of Phinehas, Gershom. Of the sons of Ithamar, Daniel. Of the sons of David, Hattush. Of the sons of Zechariah, of the sons of Parosh, Zechariah, and with him were reckoned by genealogy of the males 150. Of the sons of Pahath Moab, Elihoenai, the son of Zerahiah, and with him 200 males. Of the sons of Shechaniah, the son of Jahaziel, and with him 300 males. Of the sons also of Adim, Ebed, the son of Jonathan, and with him 50 males. And of the sons of Elam, Jeshaiah, the son of Athaliah, and with him 70 males. And of the sons of Shephatiah, Zebediah, the son of Michael, and with him 80 males. Of the sons of Joab, Obadiah, the son of Jehiel, and with him 218 males. And of the sons of Shelomith, the son of Josiphiah, and with him 103 males. And of the sons of Bebai, Zechariah, the son of Bebai, and with him 28 males. And of the sons of Azgad, Johanan, the son of Hakatan, and with him 110 males. And of the last sons of Adonikam, whose names are these, Eliphelah, Jeiel, and Shemaiah, and with them 80 males. Of the sons also of Bigvai, Uphai, and Zabad, and with them 70 males. And I gathered them together to the river that runneth to Ahava, and there abode we in tents 3 days. And I viewed the people and the priests, and found there none of the sons of Levi. Then sent I for Eliezer, for Ariel, for Shemaiah, and for Elnathan, and for Jarib, and for Elnathan, and for Nathan, and for Zechariah, and for Meshulam, chief men, also for Joarib, and for Elnathan, men of understanding. And I sent them with commandment unto Iddo the chief at the place of Cassiphiah, and I told them what they should say unto Iddo, and to his brethren the Nephonims of the place Cassiphiah, that they should bring unto us ministers for the house of our God. And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding, of the sons of Mahli, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, and Sherebiah, with his sons and his brethren, 18. And Hashabiah, and with him Jeshaiah, of the sons of Merari, his brethren, and their sons, 20. Also of the Nephonims, whom David and the princes had appointed for the service of the Levites, 220 Nephonims, all of them were expressed by name. Then I proclaimed a fast fair at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. Because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Then I separated 12 of the chief of the priests, Sherebiah and Hashabiah, and 10 of their brethren with them, and weighed unto them the silver and the gold, and the vessels, even the offering of the house of our God, which the king and his counsellors and his lords and all Israel there present had offered. I even weighed unto their hand 650 talents of silver, and silver vessels 100 talents, and of gold 100 talents. Also 20 basins of gold, of 1,000 drams, and 2 vessels of fine copper, precious as gold. And I said unto them, ye are holy unto the Lord. The vessels are holy also, and the silver and the gold are a freewill offering unto the Lord God of your fathers. Watch ye and keep them until ye weigh them before the chief of the priests and the Levites, and chief of the fathers of Israel at Jerusalem, in the chambers of the house of the Lord. So took the priests and the Levites the weight of the silver and the gold and the vessels to bring them to Jerusalem unto the house of our God. Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go unto Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way. And we came to Jerusalem and abode there 3 days. Now on the 4th day was the silver and the gold and the vessels weighed in the house of our God by the hand of Merimoth the son of Uriah the priest, and with him was Eleazar the son of Phinehas, and with them was Jozabad the son of Jeshua, and Noadiah the son of Binui, Levites. By number and by weight of every one, and all the weight was written at that time. Also the children of those that had been carried away, which were come out of the captivity, offered burnt offerings unto the God of Israel, 12 bullocks for all Israel, 90 and 6 rams, 70 and 7 lambs, 12 he-goats for a sin offering. All this was a burnt offering unto the Lord. They delivered the king's commissions unto the king's lieutenants and to the governments on this side the river, and they furthered the people and the house of God. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word. Help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Dear Lord, do teach us now to pray, as thou hast given this place for prayer. So give us hearts to pray. And as we gather together here on this returning Lord's Day, O Lord, may we ever see it as a privilege, a blessing, a favour to be found in this house of God, gathered together unto thee. Oh, may the gathering of the people be unto thee. And Lord, as we are found gathered here, health and strength has been given, journeying mercies, thy kind and good and gracious hand upon us to bring us here. Yet, Lord, do be pleased to gather with us. For Lord, without thee, we can do nothing. Oh, how dependent we are upon thee. Dear Lord, do come. We do trust that we have gathered together in thy name. Oh, to prove, and there am I in the midst. Oh, Lord, may it be proved collectively. May it be proved personally, or may it be proved spiritually. May it be proved in our hearts, in our never-dying souls. Thou knowest how we have come. All that man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. And thou, God, seest me. Our innermost thoughts, our desires, our longings, our hopes, our fears. As we have made our way here and taken our places, oh, may it be that our eyes are up unto thee, oh, seeking thy mercy, thy blessing, thy presence, thy word, thy grace, thy compassion, all seeking a word from the Lord, to hear thy voice, to receive of thy word, something given, something applied, something to come right where we are, something to profit, something to teach, something to edify, something that will remain. O Lord, feed our souls. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Lord, we see it all around in nature, in our own bodies, in, O Lord, in the earth. Unless there is that which is fed, then it must die. O Lord, that we have souls. Lord, we believe there are living souls here. Oh, Lord, who need that nourishment from thy word, who need those fresh supplies of grace, that they may yet persevere in the way, press on toward the mark of the prize of a high calling of God. Leave not my soul destitute. O Lord, oft it may be with the dear hymn writer of old we come here. I fain would love the day of rest, would still esteem this day the best, but oft, alas, I've need to say, how barren's be my soul today. Oh, may it not be so this day, but O Lord, who come in thy great love and compassion, visit us with thy salvation, yea, visit every sinking heart, every longing heart, every burdened soul, every needy soul. O Lord, may hearts be touched, may souls be blessed, may great things be done here in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. O Lord, who come, O that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. O, to feel thy presence here. O Lord, and do look upon each and every one, if any have come carelessly, indifferently, out of mere custom and tradition. O Lord, and yet dead in trespasses and in sins, as far as God from God a sheep can run, still destitute of thy grace. Lord, have mercy. O Lord, have mercy upon them, we pray. O Lord, may they not be left to perish in their sins. O Lord, call them by thy almighty grace, and bring them into want. Convict, convince them of their sins, then lead to Jesus' precious blood. O Lord, where that work of grace has begun, and where there are those in want, in need, Lord, those who have been quickened, awakened, Lord, those in great fear and concern, where must I go or whither flee to escape the wrath that's due to me? O Lord, those who are labouring and heavy laden, burdened of their sin and guilt, O Lord, do remember such. Lord, turn their feet unto thee, unto Zion, unto Christ. Lord, where there are souls seeking Jesus, or longing to find him, to know him, to be found in him, or to be washed in his precious blood, clothed upon with his righteousness, found accepted in the Beloved, complete in him, or longing to know their sins forgiven, all that peace which passeth all understanding, all to know that I am his and he is mine. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. O Lord, remember such. Those who long for that manifestation of thy love, that revelation of thyself through the lattice of thy word. Lord, be pleased to bless. Make thyself known. Lord, do remember those of thy people who may feel to be in a low place, walking in darkness and have no light. O Lord, those who may be sorely tried, tempted, oppressed. Lord, those who can in no wise lift up themselves. O Lord, those who need reviving, restoring, comforting, encouraging, confirming that they are yet in the way, the right way. Lord, remember such. Bless them, we pray. Lord,
Lord, who remember each and every one, those in providential need, who need thy help, who need the Lord to provide, the Lord to appear, the Lord to direct, the Lord to undertake, the Lord to perform. O Lord, remember such who look to thee, cry unto thee, wait upon thee, wait for thee. Lord, do remember the dear little ones and children and young people growing up into life. O Lord, bless them, we pray. Lord, remember them in their young and tender years. Put thy holy fear deep into their hearts, all that they might be taught of God. Remember such who go to school and college and in the workplace. Oh, may they be kept all from the evils of this world, from its corruptions and vanities, from its lies and falsehoods, all from the erroneous teaching that is around. Oh, Lord, do remember them, we pray. Lord, do remember dear parents, grandparents, grant all needed wisdom, all needed grace, all needed help and patience, discernment, understanding, to bring our children up aright. Oh, it is a very, very difficult day. Oh, what grace is needed. Lord, do grant thy gracious help. Pray for all in the midst of life, many burdens, many cares, responsibilities, duties. At times many feel to be pressed out of measure, troubled on every side. Oh Lord, so many things, decisions which have to be made, matters to be attended to, all the cares of this life. All to prove that as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Remember older friends also, in what must be their latter days upon this earth. O Lord, be with them still, remember them still. All the outward man perish if they prove it. But may they also prove that the inward man being renewed day by day, that at life's eventide it shall be light. So Lord, bless each one present here. Pray for those unable to come, those laid aside in affliction, sickness, weakness, or those caught up in lawful employments. And any away at this time, remember them. Lord, bless his cause of truth. May they yet prove that thy Spirit remaineth here. Grant to them, Lord, evidences of thy Spirit's work in the hearts and lives of thy people. Bless the church. Bless them with peace and unity, love, praying one for another. Remember the officers of the church and grant them much grace and wisdom and help in their responsibilities and duties, as unto the Lord. O Lord, do add unto them here, both in church and congregation, such as shall be saved, to the honour and glory of thy name. Lord, do help thy servants who come from time to time, and may they come with that word from the Lord, to be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. O Lord, remember them in their need of a pastor. O Lord, do appear for them in this. What we pray for here, we pray for each cause of truth. Lord, many are ministered and brought very low, a number struggling for survival. O Lord, do shine upon the churches, lest they die. Would it please thee, Lord, to raise up yet others to preach the gospel. O Lord, where there may be one or another in exercise, yet at the backsides of the desert, Lord, may that time come when they must go and show themselves unto Israel. Oh, what a great need there is for men sent of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And we look to thee, the Lord of the harvest, to send forth more labourers. But, O Lord, bless thy word. O Lord, prosper thy word. May it yet run, have free course, and be glorified. Lord, add unto the church such as shall be saved, even in this day of small things. Thy word is the same. The gospel is the same. All the power is the same. The Holy Spirit the same. And yet, Lord, there seems to be a withholding. Lord, what heart searching it causes. Lord, have we grieved the Holy Spirit? Oh, show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Oh, we might pray it personally, but also collectively. But, oh, Lord, have compassion, we pray. Remember Zion in her low state. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And yet we would be thankful for every blessing, every privilege, every favour. Really, we have so much to be thankful for, to praise God from whom all blessings flow. Lord, we would be thankful. Help us now as we turn to thy word. Open it up to our understanding. That which I see not, teach thou me. Pardon and forgive our every sin. Compassion on us have, we pray. And empty send us not away. We ask all for Jesus' sake alone.
Hymn 957. Why sinks my weak, desponding mind? Why heaves my heart the anxious sigh? Can sovereign goodness be unkind? Am I not safe, since God is nigh? 957.
as the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention to the book of Ezra, chapter 8 and verse 21. The book of Ezra, chapter 8 and verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there, at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance. Then I proclaimed a fast there, at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance. Where the Lord has put his holy fear into the hearts of his dear people, this we can be very assured about, that the Lord does put his holy, tender, filial fear into the hearts of all his people. Then by that God-given grace, there is that desire to do that which is right in the sight of God. We see it with Saul of Tarsus, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? With the dear psalmist, teach me to do thy will, O God. Again, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. There will be that fear of doing wrong. There will be that fear of turning aside, that fear of leaning upon our own understanding, that fear of looking to self or looking to man, going down to Egypt for help, that fear of grieving the Holy Spirit, or that fear of offending God, or that fear of bringing a reproach upon the name or cause of God and Christ, or that fear of being left to ourselves. All that fear. I just think of Pilgrim's Progress and Christian and Hopeful of going over that stile into Bypath Meadow. Where did it lead them? Where did it bring them? Not as they anticipated. You see, Bypath is like our bypasses. A town might be bypassed, and eventually the two roads, a road going through, the road going round, meet up. That is just what Christian and Hopeful hoped and anticipated. But they were greatly mistaken. And it brought them into great trouble, great sorrow, great darkness, great affliction. They made a terrible mistake. And perhaps some of us here, through very painful experience, have made some awful mistakes in our lives because we didn't seek the Lord. We didn't make it a matter of prayer. We didn't commit our way unto the Lord. Or we sought some easy way, some more promising, prosperous way, something we were determined to do, determined to go, determined to have. You see, the Lord's people are so different from those of the world. There is that separation. The Lord's dear people must follow him. There is that of denying self, taking up the cross, following him whithersoever he goeth. And we can be absolutely assured of this. The Lord never makes a mistake. The Lord leads his people forth by the right way. He knows the right way, the good way, wherein he would have them to go. Our problem is ourselves. The old man of sin. Oh, that I had not of myself this body of sin and death. Oh, that we yet have that trusting in our own understanding. We think we know better. We think we know what we want to do, rather than being dependent upon God, looking to him, waiting upon him. Oh, what grace is needed to wait upon God and to wait patiently, because by nature we're so impatient. We don't want to wait. Even in prayer, we want immediate answers to prayer. We want the Lord to come now, provide now. Oh, how we need to be reminded time and time and time again, if you will, that we are the children. He is the Father. We are the servants. He is the Master. We are the clay. He is the potter. We are the sheep. He is the shepherd. To remember that God is in control. The Lord has dealings with his people. Ah, but the Lord does have dealings with his people. It's called experience. The things he will have his people pass through to teach them, to humble them, to prove them, to try them, to test them. Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. One who had been very well taught of God, very well instructed in the school of Christ, was Ezra, a man of God. Oh, how the Lord had so taught him, and yet he was one of these captives. Perhaps born and brought up in the land of captivity. You remember in the book of Jeremiah and at the end of the second book of Chronicles how the children of Israel, because of their disobedience, their rebellion, because of their sins, because of their transgressions, the Lord had warned them over many, many, many years, but they would not listen, they would not obey. They would please themselves, they would worship false gods, the gods of the heathen, that the Lord took them away into captivity. Oh, there were those slain by the sword. There were those slain by famine, the pestilence. There were those taken away into captivity, and Jerusalem was destroyed. The land of Israel, as they knew it, their land, had been taken away by a foreign power, by the Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Assyria. And for 70 years they remained scattered in the land of captivity. But something which has always impressed me is of those who were taken away into captivity. You have that little maid Esther and her uncle Mordecai. You have those four young, godly, gracious men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Or you have Ezekiel. You have others also. And then we have Ezra. We have Jeshua. Or we have Zerubbabel. We have Nehemiah. You see, these God-fearing people who confess their sins, personal as well as collective, who besought the Lord to have mercy. And the Lord, in his great compassion and tender mercies, would bring his people out of captivity to return unto their own land. And there we have this Ezra, this man of God, this man of prayer, this man of faith. So here they come on their journey. And we have that list of names we began in our reading. And I gather them together to the river that runneth to Ahava. There we abode in tents 3 days. And he viewed the people. He looked around at those hundreds before him. And he saw that there were none of the sons of Levi. If you will, there was no minister. Or he saw something was wrong. They couldn't carry on without a minister. No, they had to, as it were, sit still. He sends those to return to Iddo the chief, Cassifiah. And I do like this in verse 18. And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding. By the good hand of our God upon us. You remember Naomi. She, with her husband and 2 sons, went out from Israel unto Moab. The hand of the Lord went out against her, took her husband, then her sons. Then she heard that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Oh, how she painfully felt the hand of the Lord had gone out against her. Really, like faithful and Christian, she'd all gone over that stile. Because the way was rough, the way was hard. She sought an easier life in Moab where she had no right to be. The Lord overruled it for Ruth, yes. But what Naomi had to pass through. Oh, the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Now, I don't know, there may be one here this morning. In your life, in your pathway, your experience, your situation, your circumstances. Oh, do you feel the hand of the Lord has gone out against you? Or has there been some bitter disappointments, some very hard things, or some very distressing things? The hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Oh, like Naomi, may grace be given of that true confession of our sins, our mistakes, our wrongdoings, or that pleading of the Lord to be very gracious and very merciful. His compassions, they fail not. His mercy endureth forever. And yet I believe Naomi would yet prove the good hand of her God to be upon her. Both in the provision of Ruth and how the Lord used Ruth to become the wife of that great man, the good hand of our God. All the tender mercies of the Lord. And so Ezra here could see the good hand of our God upon us. Now the ministers being brought. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance, that we might afflict ourselves. In Hebrew, there are different meanings for this word afflict. We remember how the Egyptians afflicted the children of Israel. All that is different to our word afflict here. Again, that word afflict can be speaking of being poorly, to be in affliction, to be in distress. Again, that is not the meaning of this word here. Really, it is to
humble ourselves before our God.
Or to come before him as little children. Or to come before him as poor and needy. Or to come before him in humble dependence. To seek his favour, to seek his blessing, to seek his help. Or to seek divine guidance. Or to seek that the Lord might go before. That we might afflict ourselves before our God. They would proclaim that fast. They would give themselves unto prayer. Or they would seek to commit everything into the hands of the Lord. Commit thy way unto him, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Oh, I do believe that Ezra had so learned and taught in the school of Christ. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. What a wonderful word that is. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Or before you take one step, before you do anything, take it to the Lord in prayer. Wait upon him. Look to him. Or be still and know that I am God. Or we can be too hasty. We can be too presumptuous. Leaning upon our own understanding, something appears right. Because something appears right, it may not be right. Oh, something is only right when God makes it right. Then I proclaimed a fast there, at the river of a harbour. My mind just thinks of those women, Lydia by the riverside. There at Philippi, where the Lord sent a minister, the Apostle Paul. It was that place where prayer was wont to be made. That word wont, a very old-fashioned word, really meaning the opposite of what one might assume, where prayer was greatly made, desired to be made, where prayer was made unto God. And how the Lord did great things there at Philippi. Oh, the Lord established a church. The Lord built up his people. We read later of bishops and deacons. The Lord prospered them. All for that prayer meeting by the riverside. Here by the river Ahava. That we might afflict ourselves before our God. To seek of him a right way for us. And it is these words, a right way, that seem to lay much upon my spirit. We have in Psalm 107, that psalm speaking of the pilgrimage of the children of Israel, and speaking of the Lord gathering his people together, and he led them forth by the right way. And the right way is God's way. And God's way is God's will. Thy will be done. Oh, dear friend, do you desire to know and do God's will? Because sadly we have our own will. Dear Anne Still, in one of her hymns she pens, oh, bend my will to thine. Have we that desire? That desire to know God's will. It may be very, very different to our will. What we want to do. What we want to have. Where we want to go. Oh, may the Lord so help us to come before him. To pray to be emptied of all that is self. All that is of the flesh, all our own natural understanding, and to look to him to show us
the right way, his way.
To seek of him a right way for us. I do believe that Ezra and the godly here would wait upon God until he would show them that right way. They dare not take one step, if you will, without God's permission. You see, it's so important in our lives, in our pathways, in the Lord's dealings, that we seek that grace to seek of him a right way for us. Now, you go away. That is, you go in a way. Would you not rather have the Lord's smile than his frown? The Lord's blessing rather than his curse? The hand of the Lord to be for you than to be against you? Because in any way, the way will be tried, our faith will be tried. I just think of the disciples and Jesus constrained them into that ship to go over before him. There they needed constraining, but it was the Lord's will. It was the right way. It was a good way. It was the way the Lord would have them to go. But they needed constraining. Perhaps one here this morning needs constraining in the way the Lord will have you to go. You are reluctant. You are fearful. You are concerned. How can I go? But to see the Lord's hand, to hear the Lord's voice, this is the way, walk ye in it. Oh, the Lord making known to you his way, his will, constraining you. It may be that other doors are being shut, and just this one door is being opened. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. You want to shut it, perhaps, because the way seems too dangerous, too difficult, too humbling. Oh, how can I go that way? But it's the only way, and the Lord constrains you. The love of Christ constraineth us. Now, returning to those disciples, they launch. Evening fell, darkness came, the wind began to blow against them. They were toiling in rowing because the wind was contrary. But still they were in the right way. 'Tis the right way, though dark and rough. Often the child of God is found in such a way. But it's still the right way. Lord, thou hast said. Oh, to be able to return to the Lord. To entreat of him. Lord, thou hast said. Thou hast put me in this way. That good conscience, with that clear conscience before God. Now, supposing you've been left to yourself and you go in a way, I'm just thinking now of Jonah. He sought to flee from the presence of the Lord because he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He thought he could go to Tarshish, and there was a ship, as it were, waiting for him at Joppa. And he had the fare, he had the money, all seemed to be going well. And as they launched forth, we presume that there was a calm sea, so he could go to sleep in the sides of the ship. But oh, when he was awakened, I believe that was a double awakening. The captain of the ship awoke him, yes, but the Lord awoke his conscience. There they were in a tempest, in a storm. I believe straight away Jonah had a guilty conscience. He knew that he should not have been in that ship. He knew that he should not have been going that way. He could see the hand of the Lord had gone out against him, and he couldn't escape. There was no escape.
And there he was. And well, when the lots fell, might they fall upon him, be sure your sin will find you out. He had to confess his sins before the shipman. Oh, to confess that he was a prophet of the Lord, a servant of the living God. The Lord has sent this storm because of him. And their only hope was to cast him into the sea. They were reluctant, we can understand that. And yet the Lord would prepare that great fish. Oh, what Jonah passed through, we cannot imagine. But the Lord was very merciful and very gracious. There Jonah must be humbled. There Jonah must, or he must learn God's mercy. Salvation is of the Lord. And when he was vomited out upon dry land, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. I don't know, perhaps one here, you may be in that storm, a guilty conscience before an holy God. You're walking in disobedience. You're refusing, as it were, to bow to the will of God. Do you think you can stand up against God, Almighty, eternal, sovereign God? Do you think you can resist the Holy One of Israel? Do you think that you can please yourself, go where you want, and the Lord will not take any notice? Oh, such a storm has come upon you. A sin of disobedience. Yet the Lord in his great mercy would have Jonah vomited out upon dry land, not in the midst of a sea where he would have drowned. But then the word of the Lord came the second time unto Jonah, arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach a preaching that I bid thee. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. Just very briefly, I want to look at the context. He was ashamed to inquire of a king, a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated for us. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. A very present help, a most gracious help, that the Lord doth help his people. He helps them to continue. He helps them to press on. He helps them to look unto him. You see, the right way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's that way of faith. Looking unto Jesus. All that way that the church in the Song of Solomon had been taught. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Let me but hear my Saviour say, strength shall be equal to thy day. Then I rejoice in deep distress, leaning on all-sufficient grace. And you cannot lean too often, and you cannot lean too hard. To seek of him a right way for us. He refused the help of man. The help of King Artaxerxes, that great
king, or who ruled that empire. Because Ezra and the godly would look beyond man, the help of man, and they would look unto their God, unto the help of their God, the Lord to guide them in the way, the Lord to protect them in the way, the Lord to watch over them in the way. You see there, so it proved to be, as they must venture in that way, surrounded by dangers, or surrounded by enemies, and the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy, and of such as lay in wait by the way. But the child of God has an enemy, Satan, the world, indwelling sin, the old man of sin, and they lay in wait by the way. Or they come to tempt, they come to accuse, they come to attack, they come to trouble. Oh, and they can be so incessant, so powerful, so strong. Oh, to be found in that word, that one word, kept, because we cannot keep ourselves. Oh, how we need to be kept in the way, in the right way. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it from thy courts above. Yes, to be kept in that right way, the narrow way, the way of life, all the way that leadeth unto life, that right way. And he led them forth by the right way. You see, there were enemies all around them and even waiting for them at Jerusalem. Those who would try to frustrate the purposes of God, the ways of God, and the people of God. I do believe at this time the temple had been rebuilt. You remember when they laid the foundation, the enemies of the Lord's people, they accused the king, I think it's Darius at that time, that there was insurrection and they began to rebuild Jerusalem to revolt from under that empire, from under the king. And so the king decreed and they were forced to stop building the house of God. There it remained for a time until the Lord sent his prophets Haggai and Zechariah to stir up the hearts of the people again to rebuild the house of the Lord. And so it was rebuilt, the temple. And it was at this time that Ezra came with his gold and silver and the priests and the Levites to so furnish a house of the Lord. Oh, that there were enemies. Nehemiah knew those enemies, the Tobias, the Gershons, the Sanballats. And so it is in a way. All those enemies, what are they trying to do? They're trying to turn us out of the way. Oh, Satan, ever seeking to make a child of God, to make shipwreck of faith, to destroy his faith, his hope, his love, to turn him out of the way, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us. And at times Satan comes in with a flood to confuse us, a flood to bewilder us, a flood to deceive us, an angel of light. Oh, how we need the Lord to keep us very humble, very low, very dependent upon him, looking to him alone, to seek of him a right way for us. Lord, what am I to do? Lord, what is the right way? Lord, what is thy will? It has been said that there are three answers to our prayers. One is yes,
One is know and one is wait. And perhaps often it is that waiting upon God. And there we find our faith will be tried. How long will we wait upon God? Well, as grace is given, as long until the Lord makes his will known. You remember, we mentioned Naomi, we think of Ruth, and Naomi, that gracious counsel, sit still, my daughter. How long? Until thou know. Until the Lord has made it plain, until the Lord has made it clear, until you see the hand of the Lord, until you hear the Lord's voice. Sit still, my daughter, until thou knowest how the matter will fall, for the man shall not be in rest until he perform the thing this day. You see, in verse 23, so we fasted and besought our God for this. And he was entreated of us. If we are the true worshippers of God, if we seek grace to pray unto the living God, the true God, well, may we remember he is the prayer-hearing God and the prayer-answering God. Oh, let us be very clear of that. The Lord hears all the prayers of his people. And he answers. The Lord sends answers of peace. It may not be the answers that we want. It may not be the answers that we desire. Oh, it may be denials. But remember, God is faithful. God is good. God is kind. God is gracious. God never makes a mistake. He only does that which is good for his dear people. Yes, we are called to endure hardness, to suffer a great fight of afflictions. Again, as enemies. And many trials, fiery trials at times. But the Lord is good, leading us forth by the right way. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Oh, that is the right way. When the Lord leads his people on, or when the Lord says, follow me. Or when grace is given to take up our cross, deny self, and to follow him. By the eye of faith, I was going to say the hand of faith, to put our hand into God's hand. Or to trust in him alone. Or it may be that man, even our loved ones, cannot understand. Or it may be that we ourselves even cannot understand. And yet by faith, looking to the Lord alone, yes, to follow him and to trust in him, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, that seek to know and do his will, to seek to walk in his ways, them that honour me, I will honour. Perhaps as one here who suffered a great disappointment, a great setback, always caused you many tears, much sorrow. You cannot understand why the Lord has permitted it. You try to make it a matter of prayer, but perhaps the Lord has said, no. Or this is not the way. At the end of Hebrews 11, we have this chapter on faith. God given faith to his dear people. God having provided some better thing. Or some better thing. To lead them forth by the right way. the way of faith, looking unto Jesus, casting all our care upon him, that God never makes one mistake that we do. We make many mistakes. And oh, how painful can be those mistakes and the effect of them. But God is very merciful. God is very gracious. And how the Lord can rule and overrule. But may we never be left to that awful sin, almost of fatalism, to almost purposely make a mistake, or to have our own way, go our own way, trusting the Lord will rule and overrule. I do fear that I've seen something of this. Looking on, to see such a determination of men who will have their own way, have been so absolutely determined, have crushed others under feet. Then afterward, having gotten their own way, then appear sorry for what they've done to others. Now God will have his way. Oh, God will not be mocked by man. You see, by their fruits you shall know them. That fruit of godly fear. That fruit of true humility. Of humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Or that fruit of waiting patiently for the Lord. All that fruit of praying our way along, for men are always to pray and not to faint. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. The soul that waits upon the Lord. And here we have Ezra waiting upon the Lord. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. The Lord who is so good, or the Lord who is so gracious, the Lord who goes before his people, who supplies every need, no good thing shall he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And so we shall prove it. The Lord leading us forth by the right way. And that right way to glory. Then I proclaimed a fast there. At the river of Ahava. That we might afflict ourselves before our God. To seek of him a right way for us. And for our little ones. And for all our substance. So we fasted and besought our God for this. And he was entreated of us. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £765, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Chapman is expected to preach on Friday, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day, who also hopes to administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close with hymn 1070. Thou friend of friendless sinners hear, and magnify thy grace divine. Pardon a worm that would draw near, that would his heart to thee resign. A worm by self and sin oppressed, that pants to reach thy promised rest. 1070.
And may the grace of the Saviour, the love of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.